Hey, everybody. This is Y'all Heard,
a podcast where me, Marissa Phillips,
and me, Pete Phillips,
and we're not related.
And this is a show for curious people who want to hear about a variety of topics out there in the world, from
food
to fetishes,
celebrities
to unsung heroes, from things you think you know to
things you didn't know you needed to know.
Did you see this article about this lady? She was subjected to a performance improvement plan during which her computer activity, including all keyboard strokes, was monitored for 49 days when she was working from home.
That's fucked up.
And then after that, she got fired. But
why? Because what was she doing? Looking at porn?
It doesn't really say what she's been doing. But this was the part that I thought was pretty funny. And I realize that it's not funny. In a written response, she claimed to, quote, have been going through a lot of personal issues, which is called decline in my mental health. And unfortunately, I believe, has affected my performance and my work.
Oh, God. Did she know her keystrokes were going to be monitored?
I don't think so. But, Okay. Again, like, it's the company's machine.
No, I'm not saying they can't. I'm just saying, like, if she knew and then she still looked up wild shit, that'd be ridiculous. But, okay. Interesting.
I can't find the specific quote from her, but basically they're saying that she's totally poor now because she doesn't have a job. And she says, quote, I make a small percentage of money off of TikTok, just enough to cover my bills. And it's like,
what?
If you're making money off of TikTok at all, especially enough to cover your bills, you're fine.
I know. You have to be making a lot to cover your bills. What does this lady do? What was her job?
It's all to do with my mental health, you see. I am an advocate because of the mental health issues I have suffered, so I raise awareness by talking about it.
Wait, but is she actually saying what mental health issues?
No.
Then how are you an advocate for anything?
She was fired from the Insurance Australia Group after 18 years of service.
Whoa. I mean, that's crazy.
But she was, like, showing up. She was skipping meetings. There was one meeting where, according to this article, she attended a Microsoft Teams meeting with her manager concerning her performance with the word fuck written across her hand.
What? Okay. So this is too complicated. This is almost becoming a topic, so maybe we should move on. But I will say, maybe she does have a mental health issue, but, like, I don't know. It just is weird. That's all.
I'll say this. If you're listening to this show and you're like, I think that lady had a mental health problem, and I think I do too, then what you can do is you can go into work and go to HR and say, I have a mental health problem and I need blank. And then if they don't give that to you, that's on them. But if you just keep it to yourself and screw around during the day and not do your job.
Yeah, I agree. You can't.
Then you can't. Like at the end, you can't be like, well, I had mental health problems. It's like, okay, well.
Yeah. And then also say you're an advocate, but be very vague. Anyway, okay. Well,
that's how you are?
That's cool. I'm sick, everybody. So apologize if I sound like shit. I've been sick for about a week now. I don't know what happened, so it sucks. So, yeah, let's move on. Pete. Oh, no. Oh, all I'll say is I'm very sad. I couldn't find any eclipse glasses, but that was fine. I was just like, I won't watch the eclipse, but you know what I will do? Buy the limited edition Sun Chips eclipse flavor that'll only be on sale for $4 because I'm a limited edition snack enthusiast. Well, the website malfunctioned, and I didn't get my chips, and I had other people trying to buy the chips, and none of us got the chips. I was there right on time, and I just kept getting error messages, so I'm just pretty sad. So.
That's unfortunate for Sun Chips.
Yeah, I know. So.
There was a soda doing one, too, I think.
I think Mountain Dew Pitch Black was available for a limited time. Yeah, but it wasn't diet, so I didn't care.
Yeah.
Anyway. So, I have an icebreaker, Pete. Ready?
Ready.
Nope. I said words. that aren't even related to the sentence I needed to say.
I'm there with you, man.
I feel like I've asked this before, but I feel like our answers evolve over time. Is there a word or phrase or expression that people use that you really fucking hate?
You taught me to hate ping.
Who says ping? I say that?
No. You've brought it up before. And then I started to notice that people around me were using the word ping.
When I'm going to ping you or some shit?
Yeah.
Wow. I don't even remember ever mentioning that, but that would annoy me a lot.
But I don't know. Maybe I'm an old person, but what we just talked about, like the vagueness of mental health problem is, you know, it rubs me the wrong way just because I realize with HIPAA and everything, people have the right to privacy, but it's like, you're going to have to give me a little more than that.
Yeah, no, I mean, maybe I'm old too. We are about the same age, but I agree. And I am someone who suffers from mental health problems, but what?
I found it. This is the right answer.
Okay.
You can wipe out everything else I said.
Okay.
I can't stand the word resiliency. I don't know if I talked about it on podcast before, but it's resilience.
I don't hear anyone say it that. Yeah, I was going to say.
I do all the time.
Wait, is resiliency even a word?
It is.
I guess it is.
Accepted as a word, but no.
Okay.
And what bugs me the most about it is that English professors are on this committee about resiliency, and everybody's trying to get students to be more resilient. But they keep saying resiliency, and I just want to scream every single time. That's not a word. Did you know you could drop a syllable and not sound stupid?
Yeah, I never even heard anyone say that, so I don't blame you.
And like, I think before that, I had heard it on sports stuff and things like that. He's showing a lot of resiliency tonight. And yeah, I looked it up, and it's like, it's not a word, resiliency, but yeah. It is not the word, like you could use resilience the same and not sound so verbose.
Got it. Everyone loves to be a fucking tryhard. I was hoping I would be able to think of some of the horrible work speak that my manager used to use in my old job, which filled me with rage, but I can't. What I can tell you is I, for some reason, have heard people say "an historic" so many times that I was like, do I not know how to use "a" versus "an"? And no, I'm correct. You say "ahistoric," not "an historic." You only use "an" before a word that starts with an H if you don't pronounce the H.
Right. If it's all based on sound.
Yeah. But
I saw a headline that had that. It was an A and then an H. And I was like, interesting to see this out in the wild. Because I feel like I would make every attempt to reword that so that I didn't have to face that dilemma.
Yeah, I don't know. For some reason, I thought everyone saying "an historic" just also was trying to sound fancy or something. I felt like that was just like this weird affectation people had picked up. I don't know. I guess it's
you should start correcting people and go, excuse me, it's "an historic."
That's
H is silent.
I like that. That's funny. But there are so many things. I've mentioned before, I hate when people say apps, appies, noms.
Yeah.
Everything I'm saying are just things that horrible millennials
noms is
say.
A go-to, guys. If you're friends with Marissa and you text her on a regular basis and you just want to rile her up, just write, I'm noshing on some noms right now. How are you?
I would say thank God. Almost no one I know uses any of those words. I can maybe think of one person who does, and they might be saying it ironically. I was seeing a boy, okay, a man, not a boy. I was seeing a man once who would say nosh and noms and appies, and I hated him. I saw him for longer than I should have because I hated him. But I'm going to say, like, I mean, he had a lot of problems. It wasn't like I'm an asshole and I broke up with him because of that. But boy, was it hard to just, you know, get to know him at a deeper level, because that was just in the way. That was really annoying me that he would do that. So,
yeah.
Anyway.
It prevented you from moving forward.
Yeah. Oh, man. Cool podcast about
probably for the better.
Bad. Yeah. So speaking of things that I don't like people to say. So I drink this probiotic soda called Poppy. Have you ever had these feet?
Poppy. No. I remember when I talked about soda, you said that they were like a... Oh, when I was talking about soda and like marketing and numbers and stuff, you were very surprised that they were overtaking the market in some areas.
Yeah, I think they had like a Super Bowl commercial, and I thought that this was just like some niche soda that me and people who care about their gut drank, because it has like apple cider vinegar in it. You can't really taste it, but it doesn't taste like fucking soda. It tastes like healthy people soda. Anyway, so like healthy people soda.
Oh, people. Okay. I thought you said healthy bean soda. And I thought,
no.
Bean soda sounds disgusting.
Anyway, so I was drinking this Poppy soda yesterday, and I was just reading the ad copy on it. And let me read what I saw. Remember your fave soda from childhood? We just gave it a major, with multiple R's, upgrade. Juicy, bold, and beyond fresh. It's grape soda, all grown up, with 5 grams of sugar, I forget what to say, with 5 grams of sugar, totally clean ingredients, and prebiotics. God, nobody likes an Oxford comma. I'm sorry, I'm getting mad at so many things.
My boss doesn't use them, it drives me nuts.
I hate everyone. Okay, with 5 grams of sugar, totally clean ingredients, and probiotics, ditch the fake stuff, and say hello, adulting. Hashtag soda's back. Now, what's funny is that I noticed also, it says, say hello, adulting, and I assumed it was an exclamation point. It's actually just a line or an L. So this has a lot of grammatical and typos on the soda.
Okay, yeah.
But yeah, say hello,
adulting. I know the keystroke you mean.
Yeah, what the fuck? Say hello, adulting, hashtag soda's back. And I was like, adulting? Do people still use that? Also, like, was this ad copy made by an old person trying to, like, thinking that's hip to say to young people? Or was this ad copy made by a Gen Z making fun of millennials and thinking that would seduce us to drink their soda? Like, I was like, who the fuck would think adulting is, like, an appropriate word to use in 2024? So today we're going to talk about adulting.
Thank you.
It's going to be dumb. So, in case you don't know, I don't know how you wouldn't know, but adulting is a really dumb term that means the action or process of becoming, being, or behaving as an adult, especially the accomplishment of mundane but necessary tasks. I don't know, but I do think this is only a thing Gen Z. No, I'm sorry. No, not Gen Z. I'm sorry if you're Gen Z. I know you don't say this. I think this is only a thing that quote-unquote quirky millennials say. And it's stupid. Looking back at the word's usage, apparently in the 80s, adulting was used, according to Merriam-Webster, quote, as a jocular verbal form of the noun adultery. I think we should use it like that. But by the late 2000s, it took on its current incarnation, so to describe adults doing the tasks that, you know, stereotypical adults are expected to do. So the popularity of the word can be credited to American writer Kelly Williams Brown.
I'm sorry. I got stuck there.
Huh?
When you say that you're babying somebody, it doesn't mean that you're acting like a baby with somebody. It means you're treating them like a baby.
I don't know. I didn't make the rules.
Teenaging is so hard.
Yeah. Babying be so hard. Anyway.
Sorry,
the popularity of the word can be credited to American writer Kelly Williams Brown, who wrote the 2013 book, Adulting, How to Become a Grown-Up in 468 Easy-ish Steps.
So many fun jokes in that.
Oh, God, I bet. I did not know this book existed, but I read so many articles like, oh, her book meant so much to me. And I was like, what are you... Never mind. If you need a book, like, then you know what? Then I understand why you use the term. I'll leave it at that. This book was a New York Times bestseller, so yeah, I guess a lot of people in my age group needed a girl their own age to tell them how to be a grown-up. That doesn't make sense. Ask an old person how to be a grown-up.
Yeah.
Anyway. Oh, I'm sorry. Just figure it out. Just figure it out. Do a little of both. Ask old people and figure it out. Anyway, Brown's book has been described as a quirky, accessible manual that not only dispensed practical advice on everything from friendship to buying bulk toilet paper, but it also insisted cheerily throughout that adulthood was a verb, not a definitive category. Now, when Vanity Fair asked Williams Brown, do you remember when you came up with the actual word adulting? Which, by the way, she didn't create the word. She just made it popular. Anyway.
She co-opted it from its original meaning.
Yeah, exactly.
One might say she reclaimed it.
In a 2022 interview, she says, I was sitting in a bar with a much older friend of mine. She was in her 50s, and I was in my mid-20s. I was talking to her about this idea I had for a book.
She was gross.
How it should have all the things you need to learn before you're 30. Like, how do you change a tire and all that stuff in one compendium? Again, I would rather read that from someone who wasn't 20, but mm-hmm. I did hear that she talked to older people to write the book, but still, okay. So after the book was released, the term further surged in popularity in 2014 when Grammar Girl named it her word of the year. And the definition was also added to the Urban Dictionary website.
Wow. That's quite an accomplishment.
Then the term's use really exploded in 2016 with more than 80,000 online mentions of adulting monthly. Also, many brands began using the term in their marketing, from American Express to Amazon and everything in between. So why the fuck did the term catch on to begin with, besides that girl using it? In 2016, Jane Solomon, a lexicographer at dictionary.com, said that a big factor that contributed to the word's popularity is millennials and their delayed development. This generation of millennials, she says, they go through life stages that other generations have gone through much later in life. No, that's word of quote. They go through life stages They go through life stages much later than previous
generations. I think that's correct.
Oh, it's just it read weird to me.
They're sort of behind on everything.
Yeah.
I didn't realize, but my nephew is still on my sister's health insurance. He could stay on her health insurance until he's 26 years old.
Oh yeah, wasn't that a rule that just
I had to get off at 18.
Oh, well, I was going to say, I feel like that rule went into place right after, me and you left college.
Right, yeah.
Yeah. Oh, well.
That's just one documented way to illustrate how, I guess they can grow up slower.
I mean, I will just let you know, I don't like to admit this, my father still pays for my cell phone. And he goes, you're married, I'm going to take you off. And then I found out my husband's still on his mom's cell phone, so now I don't need to get off.
You guys aren't officially married until you start your own family plan.
You know, my father says I'm allowed to stay on his as long as my husband's on his mother's. Anyway, so yeah, millennials basically took longer than previous generations to start families, own homes. Maybe they won't own homes at all, says Jane Salomon. Ha ha ha.
Because the world will end?
I don't know, because we suck. I don't know. And in 2016, and I'm sure the number is different now, but in 2016, the age of first-time mothers is at a historic high. What do you think the age was? I was like, what? That's a historic high? You want to guess? The historic high of first-time mothers? I mean, I guess this makes sense. I guess.
Is it between 25 and 30?
It's 26. I was just like, that's not that fucking high, but whatever. I'm 38 and childless.
Perhaps because, in past times, women were sort of, I guess if you're looking at the longitudinal study, some people were knocked up when they were quite young because it was inappropriate.
Yeah, yeah. No, I just like, historic high. I expected it to be like 30 or something, but whatever. And real estate
54.
Real estate site Zillow found that first-time homeowners at the time were more likely to be significantly older than in the past decade. No shit. And more millennials were starting to move back home due to various reasons. And so, using the word adulting, this joking way of describing one's engagement in adult behaviors, whether it has to do with doing your own taxes, buying your first lawnmower, or getting super pumped about home appliances, this was said to kind of help those millennials acknowledge or kind of make fun of or kind of come to grips with their life transitions and or how late they are to it. So like a jokey way to be like, oh, look, I'm doing adult things. Bet you didn't expect that, huh? So, anyway.
Do I have to go buy a lawnmower?
I don't.
Do I have to get a house first?
Yeah, but you have an apartment. I still don't even know how to, like, that. Okay, let me just say before I move on. What annoys me about adulting and all that bullshit is most people use it to, like, signify stereotypical adult behaviors. But I don't think to be considered, quote unquote, an adult, you need to achieve anything specifically. You're just an old person and you do things well, you don't do things well. You're still like, I don't know,
Marissa.
I mean,
I can think of at least one old person I know who is terrible at being an adult.
I know.
But I guess you're right. Yeah, that's the qualification.
I know what you mean, and I agree. And certain adults don't contribute anything. They don't support anyone. They may not make their own money or own anything, or they might be totally dependent on someone else. And I don't mean because they're like incapable of, I just mean like they might be selfish and just like,
Marissa is picking on disabled people.
You know, I was not talking about people who are disabled, or could not. I mean, they might just be dependent on someone because they're like, I don't want to work. You support them, or like let their parents take care of them forever. That doesn't make you not an adult. That might make you a fucky person. But if you're 45 years old and your parents support you, you're not called a baby. So my point is,
yeah,
like,
you're kind of called a liability, but again, yeah, an adult liability.
Like, you're still an adult. When you're not 18, you're a fucking adult. You might be an immature adult. You might be an adult that's not self-sufficient, but you're still a fucking adult. And like, and I find it immature to act like, ooh, I care about paper towels now. This makes me an adult. Right. I think that using the term adulting makes you even more immature. So, whatever. Anyway.
I guess I've been an adult for a long time.
Because you really care about paper towels?
Yeah.
I mean, you and me.
That one was for you, Marissa.
Yeah, I appreciate that. So to speak to all
not
of us.
Not for masturbating. Just in case anybody out there thinks that's the joke I made.
Yeah, I didn't even go there. No. Wouldn't that be like, if you said I really care about tube socks.
I do care about tissues too, but.
Yeah, tissues or socks I feel like goes more to masturbation. But anyway. So to speak to all of us delayed millennials, AdXX really went all in on adulting in their ad content. So I'm going to provide some info specifically about the Adulting Sucks Heinz ketchup commercial that won a Shorty Award in, I cannot believe it, in 2023. Why are we giving people awards for adulting content in 2023? I thought adulting died at least by 2021. I don't know. Whatever.
And why wouldn't it be like a different product? Like if Tootsie Pops came out and they were like, adulting sucks.
Oh, I like that. I like that a lot.
You know, like, it doesn't feel clever for, although I have seen people suck on ketchup packets, but
I mean,
anyway.
Yeah. Anyway, so the Shorty Awards
curiously,
are
curiously, that's the same person who I was referencing before.
Oh, God. Okay. The Shorty Awards are awards for outstanding and innovative work in digital and social media. So it really makes me sad that someone is being awarded that award for their adulting content in 2023. So this Heinz commercial features a young girl surrounded by little cartoon animals right out of a Disney film singing a song about, as I said, how much adulting sucks.
When I was but a child eating Heinz on spaghetti, I hoped and wished that I could be grown up already. Well, adulting sucks.
Adulting sucks.
You have to eat healthy all the time. But fortunately, your ketchup can be no sugar at Heinz. So much of life now gives me pause, like having favorite spatulas.
I keep plastic bags, who knows why, and all my succulents seem to die.
Eating well takes so much willpower, and everything's made out of cauliflower. And I think as I search for a Tupperware lid, this is not what I dreamed of when I was a kid. Adulting sucks.
It sucks.
Turns out you can't just eat sweets all the time. But fortunately, your ketchup can be no sugar added Heinz. Folding fitted sheets and shoes like my dad. All this meal prep is driving me mad. But with my tasty ketchup, life's not so bad.
So yeah, what a cool commercial, yeah? So so now I went to the Shorty Awards page to kind of, so like when you win an award like this, usually they'll have like a write-up on the page, like breaking down the content and like why it won the award.
Yeah.
So I'm going to talk a little bit about that. They won specifically the gold honor in the product, feature, video, food, and beverage category. So the listed task of this commercial: help Heinz launch its reformulated no sugar added ketchup made with the great taste of Heinz and sweetness from plants. Intended audience: sugar minimizing millennials. Health-conscious adults who scrutinize their sugar intake. What I find funny is sugar-minimizing millennials is all in title case. Like, what? Okay.
Like, this is a marketing demographic that everybody's aware of.
That's disgusting.
We're trying to sell our clothes to sugar-minimizing millennials.
I hate ad execs. Tension. As adults, sugar-minimizing millennials love the ketchup of their youth, but hey, how much sugar it has. Since sugar is the enemy number one, this limits their options for ketchup. Each one feels like a compromise on taste. Insight. Cutting sugar isn't a niche behavior. It's a rite of passage for every adult. Cutting sugar.
See, that I feel like you could make an argument if they put out like low sugar tricks.
Yeah,
because then you're like, oh, you gotta eat adult cereal now.
Yeah, like I don't fucking know. I don't look at the nutrition on ketchup, and I'm not diabetic, so maybe if I was diabetic and I had to count every sugar gram, I would care about the ketchup. But your average person does not fucking try to cut their sugar in their ketchup. Anyway, cutting sugar isn't a small quote sugar minimizing millennial behavior. It's a hallmark of adulting, a colossal, inescapable cultural phenomenon everyone has to go through as they get older. I'm sorry, adulting is a colossal, inescapable cultural phenomenon?
Phenomenon.
It doesn't seem like the right use of the word. Anyway, it goes on to say, adulting is hard work. It's chock full of decisions to make, responsibilities to handle, bills to pay, and meals to prepare. Anyway, in all facets of life, but especially food, adults have to put duty before desire. Not anymore! Heinz no sugar added ketchup, made with the great taste of Heinz and sweetness of plants, can't solve adulthood, but can make cutting sugar a little easier. It might be the only part of adulting that doesn't suck. And, the ambition of this ad is to position Heinz no sugar added ketchup as a welcome break from adulthood's many compromises. Don't worry, I'm not going to keep going on about this commercial. I will just end by saying they have a cultural impact section with real comments from people who watched the commercial. What?
Cultural impact.
Yeah.
Of a commercial that I hadn't seen until right now.
Yeah, exactly. Oh, and it also said that the campaign resonated and made people feel seen, inspiring people to talk about the campaign unprompted. It doesn't say like where all these comments were made, which I want to know where they were made. Mm-hmm. Anyway, first one, quote, just saw this on TV and had to come find it on YouTube. It has me LMAO. I've never related more to an ad. Next one. LMAO. This Sorry, I just made myself laugh. And now I said that. Sorry.
LMAO.
Sorry. LMAO. Heinz Adulting Sucks commercial is spot on. Next. The best commercial ever made. Adulting Sucks. Who else agrees? I'm sorry. There's only three more, but I find them all funny. I can't not read them. Next comment. A ketchup commercial spitting facts. And then mm-hmm. I have some laughing emoticons. Okay. This comment says, this is a cute commercial because adulting does suck sometimes. And lastly, the new Heinz ketchup commercial is totally hilarious. Sometimes I hate adulting too. Guys.
Chill.
Cause I, you know what? I am very judgmental. Cause I judge anyone who finds that a hilarious commercial. I judge them real hard. Anyway. So that's all dumb. But you know what's even more dumb? The fact that adulting almost became a TV show.
Oh, I was going to say, just before we move off of it, that Heinz has tomato ketchup with no sugar added, organic tomato ketchup, and simply tomato ketchup with no artificial sweeteners.
Hmm.
And I'm like, what's the difference between all three of these? And organic and simply tomato have 10 more calories. And they have like three or four sugars, whereas the no sugar added has one, and that's because they include stevia.
Oh, that's not.
But organic includes organic sugar.
Yeah, whatever, man.
So, like, none of them have high fructose corn syrup, which that's is really what you're trying to get rid of.
That doesn't seem like a big enough deal. I don't know. That seems like just a little bit of sugar regardless.
Yeah, but yeah. It's not like, you know, you find out that if you got light salad dressing or something, it would be 2 grams of fat. But if you get the regular, it's like 15.
Yeah, exactly. So, yeah, let's go back to talking about the adulting TV show. In 2012. No, so I don't even know if the pilot came to be. However,
what was the year?
2012. However, there are some big names.
Zooey Deschanel.
I mean, well, there is a connection. So let me, okay. In 2012, the following was reported. Adulting, a half-hour single-camera comedy from The Vow co-writers Abby Cohn and Mark Silverstein, Warner Brothers TV, and J.J. Abrams' studio-based Bad Robot has landed at Fox with a pilot commitment. There's a typo. Adulting is based on the upcoming book Adulting, How to Become a Grown-Up. So this was before the book came out.
So the book's not even out.
Exactly.
And they're making a show about it.
Yeah. So it's based on the upcoming book, which spawned from a blog of the same name. So apparently the writer had a blog ahead of time. The blog is described as a quirky, humorous guide on how to become an adult. In it, there's advice on a wide range of issues, from how to care for your basic human needs, how to discuss politics with friends, how not to look like a slut at work. Ooh, that didn't age well. How to deal with dangerous toasters. I don't know what that means. And how to shut down office creepers. The tone of the blog and Brown's persona appear close to Fox's quirky New Girl show, making adulting a potential companion for the network's flagship comedy. Thankfully, that show didn't happen. I don't even know if a pilot ended up... I don't know.
I wish it did.
Yeah, I... Oh, gosh. And If you're a fan of Bill Maher, you know that he had a 2022 comedy special called Hashtag Adulting.
I mean, it seems appropriate.
Did I mention on the podcast, or did I tell you personally, or was I not talking to you about how my mother, who watches Bill Maher, said that Bill Maher kind of had to backtrack because all he does is make fun of millennials, who, by the way, I don't think he realizes are now as old as he, as, like, I think he thinks we're younger than we are. But that he, someone went on his show and basically said, like, oh, millennials are actually, like, pretty successful and own houses and have good jobs. And he was like, oh, nuts, my bad. So apparently that happened. Anyway.
Nuts, my bad.
Because making fun of millennials is Bill Maher's whole fucking shtick. Anyway. So anyway, moving on.
It sounds sillier than saying, like, Gen Zers.
Millennials? Yeah. I mean, all of it is stupid. Did anyone talk about anyone by their generational title, like, as much as they do now? It's very annoying. Anyway. So I don't like the word adulting. I've made that clear. You know who else doesn't exactly love it? The woman who made it famous. It was recorded that Kelly Williams Brown herself has all but rejected the term of adulting in the last decade, and she said, quote, it haunts me. Apparently, after the publication of her wildly successful book, the author said that her life basically fell apart, including one failed marriage, three broken limbs over three separate instances, the end of several close friendships, and a harrowing experience with depression that resulted in a suicide attempt. Now, none of that is funny, especially not the suicide attempt, but you know what Williams Brown decided to do? She decided to do the very millennial thing of making it all quirky. In 2021, she released a memoir/collection of craft tutorials titled Easy Crafts for the Insane, a mostly funny memoir of mental illness and making things.
I guess it's okay that slutty didn't age well, because it doesn't seem like anything she says ages well.
Yeah, and that seems pretty present day. Mm-hmm. Anyway, I understand. I can understand that sometimes you don't realize that some of the ways you refer to things have evolved, and like they're not the right way to refer to them anymore. But you would think your publisher would know. But whatever.
Right. It's the difference between, I don't recall if I said it here or someplace else, but like saying something stupid and writing something stupid.
Yeah, exactly. this book has been described as an honest and darkly funny and kind of ironic. Oh, it has been described as honest and darkly funny and a kind of ironic throwback to her first book. And yes, basically it is just her recounting her dark times along with crafts instructions. I have not seen the book. I won't buy the book. I'm not even going to look for the inside because it just sounds annoying to me. But you know what? Maybe it's cool. Whatever. I don't know. But millennials ruin everything. I am a millennial, but I hate shit often, especially with their desire to quirkify everything. So I don't. That's it. It's an abrupt end, but yep. There was another chunk of this that was going to discuss an article where multiple women argue that the term adulting is sexist, but it was deep, and I don't know if I agreed with the argument. And sometimes I don't feel comfortable like repeating an argument unless I like. I also like didn't even understand their full argument, and I was like, "Let me not repeat this. This seems weird."
Sucks for us.
But it was interesting. So yeah, adulting. Woo! Any questions?
No.
Okay.
Plugs.
Got any plugs?
Funny you should ask, Marissa.
Yep.
Because I wanted to plug something that I told you to watch, which was Millennial Hunter.
Yeah, I didn't watch it yet, but it sounds absurd.
It's stupid. Like, if you watch it, don't be like, oh, this is going to be great. Just watch it knowing that it's stupid.
I'm sorry, do you think I thought something with that title was going to be good?
No, I'm speaking to those listening for plugs.
Oh, okay.
After losing his job, wife, and son due to what he believes is evil millennial culture, John vows to hunt down each and every millennial. They don't say there that he kills them, but...
Okay.
But the funny part, or one of the funny parts, is that he meets a millennial who also can't stand millennials, and it, like, throws his whole moral compass off kilter. So it's an hour and 10 minutes. It's not really like a long thing to watch. So if you have time to kill and you use Tubi, then give it a shot.
Okay, cool.
Apparently it came out during the writer's strike, so they didn't really publicize it very much. But it's got like Julio Torres, Patty Harrison, Chris Parnell does.
Julio Torres?
Yeah.
Wow.
So a lot of funny people.
I only read your synopsis so far. I didn't actually look it up yet. Okay. Now I'm going to have to look that up ASAP. Thank you.
Please finish the podcast first.
Like this podcast? Like don't watch it. Oh, okay. We'll see. I will plug... I'm going to plug... I just keep plugging it. XN97.
Mm-hmm.
Not to spoil anything, but I just finished episode 5 and I'm going to admit it. I was hysterically crying. It was a lot. And
can you give us an idea as to the nature of why you're crying? Like, is it a character dies? Is it, like, hitting you in a personal way?
There were deaths.
Okay.
But it was so... done so well. It was so heart-wrenching. It just, beautifully done show. Such a beautiful show. Amazing. What's sad is, I think days before the show premiered, I think it was announced that the showrunner was fired. So, like, this is just a beautiful show, and I don't know if it's going
to
be...
I know, it sounds like everyone is really happy with it, so that's a good reason to fire the show writer.
I haven't heard one single bad thing except for, like, people being mad that there's a gender non-binary character, which I just need to say that it's hilarious that people are so upset because the gender non-binary character is a character that can literally turn into anyone, so either a woman or a man. So
which you can imagine would be very complicated.
Yeah, so it, like, makes total sense to make them gender non-binary. It's not like... which I don't care regardless, but it's just like, it's a no-brainer, and they're acting like they did, like, something so fucking crazy. But anyway, other than that, everyone fucking loves the show. Anyway, guys, you can give us a call anytime at 570-PODWAD1, or you can email us at...
y'allheardpod@gmail.com.
And, feel free to slide into my DMs anytime at Riss Vandal. And stay safe out there. I don't know if I have COVID. I'm negative, but it feels like COVID. So be careful, guys. Bye.